Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
The lights are coming on at the bar, and the guy at the door is saying, you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here, and you want to hook up. All right, so you've got Fitzpatrick over there, and he's looking pretty good to you. I am not drunk. I'm just sitting over here going, yeah, look, I'm desperate and horny too, all right? But I am not hooking up with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And the Bulldog.
Last week you loved him, and he was a gunslinger and a riverboat gambler, and Gailey couldn't let him throw it enough, and it worked out great. This week, the game is on the line. He wants Fitzpatrick to throw it, and you're going to crucify Gailey now.
On WGR.
How about you look at the guy who is a flawed, rag-armed backup who can't throw? You don't want to because you just hooked up with him and you're going to the movies even though you were hammered when you hooked up. The next night you're going to meet his parents now. Just forget it. You were hammered. God.
Sports Radio 550.
Holds up. It still holds up. Some things do and some don't.
Fitz has become like such a folk hero here, and like to hear like that. He's such a good dude, you know, but whatever. I felt it then, and I think it's defensible now. He still is that guy. Like, that's who he is. That's why he never holds a job for that long. It's just kind of blunt hearing it back like that, but
now his reputation is working against him. Like, I'm over here going, yeah, it's coming. The meltdown, the blow-up game is coming. The Dolphins seem to think so, too. Like, they want to cash out while they're hot. And I think that that's pretty smart, but you only think that because you've watched his whole career.
Right.
That's probably 2012. The thing that I'm taken by is how young you sound.
I do really sound very young there. I know. Every time that gets played, I think the same thing. Like, wow. I sound pretty kind of different. Yeah.
Wonder what game that was. We don't have a date on that, do we, John? I have another question for you, too, when you're done with that one. He's on the phone. That happens once in a while. It happens a couple times.
Yeah, good.
A day.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, 2011 is the great start, and Fitzpatrick eventually he's on SportsCenter, and like, we did it. And then the Bills are like, we did it. And they paid him, and then we didn't. Whoops. Yeah. And that's happened before, and like, you're not thinking that that's happening now, are you?
What exactly is happening now? Like, what am I saying yes or no to? I'm
Wait
sorry.
A minute. Let's you can't have again. Two safeties? You can't have two deep coverage against my MVP candidate? He cracks? What are you doing over there? What are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
You can't,
right, okay.
You can't play zone against us?
Hey, look, I'm 85%.
You are 85%.
You know, that leaves some room for there to be, regret or, regret. They haven't done anything yet, but, like, it leaves room to wiggle away if you need to.
And we're only predicting by those numbers whether we think they will do it, whether we think they will give him the contract, not right. Whether they should. I think the likeliest scenario there is that the Bills do give Josh Allen that massive contract, $30 to $40 million a year is what that is. Going in the next season, and we spend the rest of our lives going, can I do you know what? I'm playing Kansas City this week. Guess what I need to do? Give them 250 rushing yards because their quarterback can play against the zone and throw for touchdown passes, and I think I can't beat them if that happens. And then I turn 60. And Fitzpatrick is on mornings here because he loved it here, and he's going to be in broadcasting if he wants. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants. We're going to be playing clips from his show.
Look, I'm not out to replace Jeremy, but Howard and Fitz has a nice sound.
Howard and Fitz, John. John, by the way, who had the rap? Was that John Brown? Who had the rap? You mentioned the rap.
That was Cam Lewis.
Cam Lewis had the rap, and that's
right.
It was not. Yes. Sal mentioned it.
Yeah, oven mitt. Yeah.
Are we sure it wasn't a burrito, John?
I mean,
was it a wrap or a burrito? Because what's the difference?
It depends on what you're hungry for when you're out there on the
field.
Does.
Good point. Good answer. Does depend on what you're hungry for. All right, let's go to the phones. We mentioned how John was on the phone. Here is Nick with us. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great, Nick. Thanks for calling us. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I had a quick Fitzpatrick story at the roast. I saw him in the bathroom, and it was awkward to begin with, but I said, "Hey, Mr. F," for no reason. I'm not sure why. He's about the same age as me. He had the beard. He's like, "I've never been called that." So I'm like, "Can you sign my ticket to get in here?" And he's like, "Well, that's weird, too." But he was just so cool through the whole, just so nice. I just love the guy so much. And I can't hate him. I, no matter where he goes, I just love everywhere he goes. I'm sorry. I just have a soft spot for him. You know, I'm not sorry.
No, yeah, don't be sorry. It's a good...
Don't be sorry. I do, too. That's why I'm sort of, I feel like when I'm screaming about his flaws as a quarterback when the Bills, like, you know, were married to him, I feel a little jerky because I like him so much. But, you know, that's the gig sometimes.
I know. I'm in line here to pick up my Mighty Taco order. But couldn't help but, like, love the fact that he ripped his pants off. You know what I mean? And I don't know how much I should reveal about the roast. But anyways, he put wig on for Eric Wood. And I can't get enough of that guy. I mean, but, you know, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Of course, yeah.
Sure thing, Nick. Yeah, enjoy your tacos.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that line.
Yeah.
Mr. F. I laughed out loud at that. I mean, because you get – this happened to me at ESPN with Peter Gammons once. And I have not thought about this in forever. But not. I didn't call him Mr. F, but
Mr. G.
Why would you call him?
Right.
I met Peter Gammons one time at ESPN, and I said, and I can't, I'm still mad about it. This is like 20 years ago almost, right? Or 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah.
I said, "I'm a fan of you. I'm a fan of you."
Not a fan of yours.
I'm not a fan of yours. I'm a fan of you.
A fan of you.
And like what an idiot I am. I'm a fan of you. What am I in third grade? That's offensive to third graders because they know it's yours. They think the third graders know that,
right?
And so
now you're thinking Peter Gammons is thinking, man, if they ever call me to be on that show that night, that overnight show with that guy,
what an idiot. I'm a fan of you. Who says that? But I didn't ask him to sign anything. I worked there. I just said I blew it.
Yeah. That happens.
You know, that roast, you missed it.
I did. I still, you know, the caller starts getting into it, and I'm like, I don't want to exaggerate, but I mean, I regret that I missed it. I just couldn't make it because it sounds like it was an all-timer.
It really was. It's just sort of ironic that you were not there, because we are made to go to those things. It's not even like we choose to go to them, which we do too. We would, but we are like, it's like you have to be at the roast.
Uh-huh.
You would have had to go up there and introduce somebody.
Yes.
Maybe even Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't remember if I had an assignment at that point. I must have bailed out and somebody else had to do my part, I guess, because the two that have followed, we've all, I mean, you were the MC this year, so you had a larger role and more opportunities to say ridiculous things. But, you know, we all get to take a turn, right? So I get like a, you know, whatever, however long. I make it short. But I'm sure I was supposed to do something like that at the Fitz roast, and I wasn't there to do it.
No.
I don't remember being, like, having, because this is embarrassing probably, the amount of time spent thinking about what to say about each person or, like, how I'm going to handle that, it is so disproportionate to the amount of time that the thing actually takes. That I would remember doing that work, and I don't remember doing that work before the fits rose, so that's weird.
Well, you had been sick for a few days.
Is that it? Okay. I don't remember the circumstances exactly.
Yeah, you were sick for a few days on that one.
But I remember, like, with both Eric Woods' roast this past year and Danny Gare's roast the year before, this is the kind of thing that if... Well, you're my age, and you wake up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom. You try to go back to sleep, and you start – I would, at that time of the year, both times, churning through, okay, what have I got for this guy? Is that a good line? Should I use this word instead of that word? And I'm doing that lying awake, at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it's like we have an HBO special.
Right, yeah. And it's like, it's absurd. I mean, it's like, I don't know, like, what, you know, I mean, I guess you could do really badly with if you're not ready, but I just, like, I think what am I, Larry David here? Like, I'm just, right. Which verb do I want exactly? Why do I want to use that one for that guy? So I got to save this for that.
Well,
oh my gosh.
It shows that you care.
Sure.
That's what that is. You know, you and I may obsess, but at least on a base level, it's that you care about your performance.
Sure. That's absolutely what it is.
If you didn't do that at all, and you just thought, I'm just going to roll in there and say whatever I think of, you know, maybe that says you don't care that much.
Right.
About
and
how you
could,
do.
Right. And that could be bad.
Yeah. This year with MC, I was very much like that. And really, like, just sort of worried. That's what happens to me. Especially as I get older. I just get worried. Like, what if I say something too critical? Or what if it's just not funny? Or what if somebody says something to me? Like, all these sort of outcomes
right.
that...
How am I handling a heckler?
Like, right. You know, really, you're just best off not worrying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my best line that night, this is Eric Wood this year, my best line, which is, like, still this year, by the way. Kind of amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
February,
oh
maybe. Like, that right. was this year. Because you and I have talked about it since, and I told you, I remember being sort of distracted by the thought that we should not all be in that room together.
Yeah.
That night.
Yeah.
But anyway, the best line of that night was given to me. It wasn't meant for going up there to say it, and I'm not sure I can say it now.
Mm.
So I shouldn't have brought it up. Maybe you'll tell me. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure. You had so many good lines.
Oh,
like that. I can't remember.
How do they not run together?
How do you like that?
How do they not run together? No, this was like I made it almost all the way to the end. Do the beginning part. They want you to read sponsors a certain way. They want you to introduce guests
right.
a certain
okay.
way.
Yeah.
Like I was not sure of myself when like Fred Jackson and Eric and all the guys came up on stage. How I wanted to. Do the handshake? Am I Roger Goodell here? Am I hugging these people? What am I supposed? Do I do like what kind of handshake is appropriate? All these things are in my head, and I'm like all the way through it, and I'm only going on two more times, and the last time will be just to say goodnight. So uh-huh. I've got one more part, and that is to introduce Eric's friend, Jake. His name was Jake Leonard.
Jake Leonard.
Yes,
yeah.
He was like the one guy there. People didn't know him from football. He was like Eric's friend from home. So that's all I have left to do. And I'm walking toward the stage when maybe you or EJ Manuel or somebody is like, I'm next. So mm-hmm. I get up from my table and walk over in that direction for when they actually get done. And Samantha, I think I can say this.
I think I know the line now that you're, because you're hesitating, I think I know the line.
I think I can say this. So, good. That frees me up, because this is all completely true. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Samantha, our promotions director, the great Samantha Rudnick, she is there, and like she is the queen of the night. Like she is responsible for how successful those things are, those events. And she's standing there, and she's like, I'm like, hey, Sam. She's like, oh, I'm so mad. Like, why would you be mad? What is there to be mad about? Everybody's having fun, and, like, this is such a great night. And she goes, look at the stage. On one side of the stage, on one couch, is Fred Jackson, Deion Dawkins, and E.J. Manuel. And on the other side of the stage, way over there, is Eric Wood. No, he was in the middle.
He's on a throne. He's closer to the right side of the stage, though.
But okay. But yeah, he's separate. So Brian Brohm, Jake Leonard, and who?
I think those two were.
It wasn't Eric? Okay.
No, Eric was on a throne, but he was closer to that side to balance the stage out.
Okay, okay. Anyway. So in one corner is Fred Jackson, Deion Dawkins, E.J. Manuel. In the other corner is Eric Wood, Brian Brohm, and Jake Leonard. And I'm like, Sam, what's the problem? Everybody's having a blast. What's the problem? And we're off stage. Somebody's up there. I'm next. And she goes, Rosie, her assistant, just told me, she's like, oh, my God, it's the black guys on one side and the white guys on the other side. Right. How did we not catch that? I'm so mad we didn't catch that. I'm like, you know, don't worry about it. It's okay. I didn't notice it. It's okay. It doesn't mean anything. It's fine. I don't think anybody's here questioning you.
Right.
I mean, I'm not, at least. I mean, just relax. Right. Everything's going great. Just relax.
But now let me craft this into a line.
So EJ, say it's EJ. EJ gets done, and everybody claps for him, and he sits down, and I go up there. And I'm there to introduce the one guy on the stage that nobody knows. And, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say, really. I don't even know him either. And so I wait for all the applause to quiet down, and I just go, hey, whose idea was it to put all the black guys on one side and all the white guys on the other side? And the place just erupted, and that was it. That's all I needed to say. Yeah. That was it.
Right.
But it was not even my line. It was, like, Samantha through Rosie. And they were just, like, worried about it. And I'm like, don't worry about it. So we made fun of it. That's what you do when you're concerned with something. You try to make fun of it and get a laugh and move forward.
Well, I'm sure Sam was excited that, like, 45 seconds after pointing it out to you, that she was insecure or nervous about it in any way, that you went up and brought it to everyone's attention just in case anyone hadn't thought of it themselves.
Well, you know what? I saw her yesterday, and she seemed okay with me.
Oh, tell Sam I said hi, will you, please?
You just did. She was here a day or two ago, and, you know, we had a nice chat. But it was a really cool. That was the Eric Wood one. The caller's mentioning Mr. F. That was Fred Jackson, actually. Fitzpatrick was there, and he stole the show. But that was the Fred Jackson roast, Mr. F. Yeah, you were not there. I remember being crowded in that corner of the VIP room.
Right.
And he came over.
And
Eric, just a ton of people in that space. Well, who knows? Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick will get traded, and that could be really exciting if he gets to play for somebody else. But he is out as the starter in Miami. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Coming up next, Sal Capaccio. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Important stuff here, and that goes beyond Lee Smith's status through 6 weeks. Sal Capaccio with us, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. I am a magician, apparently. But I'm like a magician that doesn't really know exactly how to undo the spell. All right, just stop, Mike. So I finally have, like, a real mask, guys. It's Amherst Knights Hockey, my daughter's hockey team. And it's nice. Like, it's a nice mask. It's not the paper ones you throw out, and it's not the piece of my T-shirt that my daughter made into a mask when this all started. It's like a real one. Somebody bought this. And so I have glasses. I put it on. I'm wearing my glasses, right? Mm-hmm. Sal, do you wear glasses? I don't think I see you in glasses.
I've never worn glasses. They actually hurt my eyes. I have very good eyesight, actually.
That's about to end.
But
excellent for you.
Well, yeah, thank you. And I'll tell you, there are these special glasses just for when you have, you know, when you look at a computer screen. As you guys know, you can use those. Mm-hmm. And my wife actually recently got those for everyone, including Max, and just said, you know, just it'll help the strain on your eyes. But I feel very uncomfortable wearing them. But maybe in the long run it would work, but I've never worn glasses.
You're about to. You're a year away. Because I was not expecting the doctor to tell me, well, at 50 you will definitely have, worse vision. Anyway, I'm not 50 yet, but I put the mask on with the glasses on, and then to take it off, I have to take the glasses off.
Mm-hmm.
You know this one?
Oh yeah, it's a whole process.
How does that happen? How does the mask get tangled up with the what? What's the word?
String.
No, the side, the oh, so
yeah,
stupid.
The
glasses.
I don't know, but it does. There's also a fogging. You get some fogging. You got to position the glasses just so, for me anyway, the bottom of my glasses overlap on top of the mask. Otherwise, when I'm breathing with a mask on, like say in the grocery store, it just goes right up and fogs my glasses up and makes my glasses pretty much useless.
I do wear sunglasses a lot, and both of those things happen to me actually a lot.
Okay. Like, you got to pinch the mask so you try to keep the fogging from happening, but I don't understand how I'm wrapping the mask string around the end of the glasses just by putting it out over my ears, because I take it off. I always have to take the glasses off. There's something weird to me about that. All right. Let's just skip Lee Smith. There's no time for that now. Quentin Spain. So, Sal, I don't know what you know, but I know what you've written and that the Bills have released him. There's a dead cap number that seems significant. There are injuries up front, so it's curious. Do you suspect, at least, that there is something more to their releasing him that goes beyond performance?
I suspect that Quentin Spain wasn't happy with his reduced role. And in fact, Brandon Bean actually has said that since to ESPN. His quote said, "I don't think that set well with him," meaning him losing his starting job. And then he made it clear and said, "Those are my words." Brandon Bean said, "Not his words," meaning not Quentin Spain's words. But I believe that is the case. And anytime that's the case, I think you have to be careful of how that's going to permeate or what his attitude might be. I have no information whatsoever that he had any, you know, bad attitude necessarily in practice, in the locker room, coaches, nothing like that. But I do think that when even the GM admits in a quote and saying, "I don't think it sat well with him losing his starting job," I think that can give you a little bit of a window into maybe what was going on. That happened. And then just a couple of weeks later, you know, he informs the team, and we find out literally a half hour before the inactives are due that he has a foot injury, or his foot soreness is going to keep him out of a Tennessee Titans game, which that's against his former team. And, you know, that seemed a bit odd for the team to even put it out that way, which was that he has informed the team that he has foot soreness. He will be added to the injury report and act inactive tonight. And then, you know, he didn't play last week. So it just seems like there's a lot there. And sometimes when there's a lot there, it's better to just move on so it doesn't become even more there.
Well, for them, yeah. For us, I never want to stop talking about this until we figure out what the hell happened.
Sure.
His performance-wise, Sal, I mean, I've not gone back over the first two games and broken down the play of the left guard, okay? Newsflash. How warranted was it? And especially now, considering that they've got injuries there. I mean, this is accompanied by Cody Ford being out weeks, who was the left guard who took Spain's place. Basically, they moved him from one side of the line to the other. How did you think he played in the first 2 weeks when he had a chance to play?
I didn't think he played spectacularly well, but I don't think he was alone in that. I think that the offensive line has struggled at a lot of times this year. I didn't think he played. He didn't stand out. And, you know, when he was put to the bench and Cody Ford was put to left guard, it wasn't like, oh my God, what are they doing? This guy has played really well. To me, that was more about Cody Ford than it was Quentin Spain. But of course, it was about both of them, right? I mean, you don't make that move if you're paying the guy $5 million a year and it's only been two games. But to me, it was, okay, we have to find a way to get Cody Ford on the field. And they must have felt he's not, we want him at guard, and we just don't feel the level of play to Quentin Spain has been up to par, which I totally understand that, because I don't think it was necessarily up to par for a lot of guys along the offensive line. I thought Darrell Williams might have struggled early on. I think he's played a little bit better as of late. But so to what you said now about you go forward here, and now Ford is injured, and on top of that, you still make this move when you have Quentin Spain. I think that can also give us a little insight into, they just didn't, he was not in their plans anymore. It's just as simple as that. They must have decided, like, we're just not going to do this. We have another plan here. Even though Cody Ford's injured, we're not going to go down that road with Quentin Spain anymore. That ship has sailed. Ike Butker actually came in the game and played for Cody Ford when he was injured on Monday. So I think that even though Cody Ford was hurt, I don't think Quentin Spain was ever truly an option after that happened.
Yeah, it's weird, though, that they signed him, right? Like, it's a quick turn of events when you sign the player like this, and then, like, when would you ever be done like this when you're not deep in the first place if there weren't, I mean, if I need to say so, I think there's something else here, too. I don't know who's to blame for it or who's responsible for it, but, geez, right? Like, why would you sign the player? Well, it's not why would you sign him. It's that you've signed him. Since you've signed him, to bail like that and pay the cap penalty and everything is just something they must have thought was serious.
You never know what happens with guys. You know, once, you know, anything can always change something, right? But he gets paid. He's here. Maybe he wasn't doing what they thought in the offseason, or he comes in and he's more out of shape, which I find hard to believe considering he won, like, their award for, like, they have some belt that he showed off on Twitter that he won, you know, from the team, you know what I mean? So I doubt that was it. But you just never know how these things sour. You never know what happened. And as far as the penalty is concerned, there is a penalty this year, and there's a slight one next year. But to be honest with you, Mike, the contract was structured that I would have been surprised if he actually would have been in Buffalo after this year, unless he played really well. Like, once they put him to the bench, I was pretty convinced he was only going to be in Buffalo for one more year, like this year. There's no way to me they're keeping him on the bench at the salary he's making when you can get out of that contract pretty easily. As I wrote today at our website, I was in contact with Michael Giannetti from SpotTrack just to get some clarification. He tweeted some stuff out, but he told me, too, just to make sure, they're going to save a lot more money on the cap than anything they cost. It will be a $1 million cap hit next year. It is a $4 million cap hit essentially this year, which you do have to eat, but that kind of doesn't matter at this point. But next year, you're going to be clearing. In fact, over the next 2 years combined, you're clearing about $10 million in salary cap space.
Well, you need him. You don't need him. You just this year is in play. Like, it's this season, and they're, you know, not deep or really good right there right now. So we'll see what they do. Like with the story about Ryan Fitzpatrick. All right, well, he's been doing well, but I get it. This guy better do well, right? Like, you've got a season going, and that's it for the Bills. Like, they might have someone else in mind who they'll bring in or whatever it'll be, but
well, they do have an option here coming up, and that is John Feliciano.
Right.
I mean, I think I think that John Feliciano, to me, makes this a lot easier to swallow from the standpoint of on the field, because of, let's go back to what we just said about, okay, so Cody Ford gets hurt. You're like, wait a minute, but you're releasing your backup to Cody Ford, who was your starter and, you know, played well last year. But let's remember, John Feliciano is eligible to be activated from the injured reserve. And if he isn't activated by next Tuesday, they basically lose him. Now, I haven't had clarification on if they lose him for three more weeks or if it's for the season, because there is no season-ending IR this year. It complicates matters. But I would actually tell you that I assume him to be activated either this week or next week, because they did start that clock on him. They were comfortable enough with him practicing starting back on October 7th. From there, he gets 21 days. So if you count the 7th, that takes you to the 27th. All right, so let's just say he gets activated by Sunday, John Feliciano. Now he becomes your starting right guard, and Brian Winters probably goes to left. I mean, you could put Feliciano at left guard. He's played there, but his spot on the Bills roster has primarily been right guard. They also have Darrell Williams if they really wanted to move him inside, and Ty Nsekhe could play right tackle. Oh, I guess what I'm saying is they do have options here. It wasn't like Quentin Spain releasing him puts them in some sort of hole. The Feliciano activation gives them a lot more options.
More with Sal Capaccio after this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Thanks for listening. More with Sal Capaccio here.
It's really interesting. I think, you know, McDermott has earned a lot of trust. I assume from the players, of course. But even from out here, I think, you know, like, okay, well, they know what they're doing. But it feels a little bit to me like he's really taken that for a spin this week, because you benched trusted veteran guys, one of whom busted his butt to get back from an injury in Phillips, and then Trent Murphy last week, and now this move with Spain. I mean, I don't know the politics and how popular a teammate he is, but it's been pretty rocky here in Bills land for a couple days with some veterans kind of getting smacked.
Agreed. I think this has been a time to test that, you know, in the locker room. Sean McDermott, test, you know, the resolve of the team, something that is very important to this group, to this regime, something that, you know, they preach on. And, you know, I have no indication that anything's going wayward, but I do agree with you. I think that this has been kind of the first sign of, okay, how do you handle this, right? How do you get through this? Because there's ways to go about that. There's ways not to go about that. Look what's happening in Dallas. We're getting all these quotes from players, anonymous players or whoever, you know, just trashing their coaching staff since Monday night. You know, we haven't had that. Even Quentin Spain thanked the Bills on his way out today, right? So we haven't necessarily had any of that, and I don't expect any of that. And to be honest with you, knowing Sean McDermott the way I do and covering him now for the last 3+ years, I think he's very good at the way he goes about the relationships he has with players. And he did talk with Trent Murphy, and he did talk with Harrison Phillips, and he was asked about that, and he said they handled it like professionals. But, you know, he's going to have a honest, candid conversation with them about why they're not going to play. It's not going to come out of the blue necessarily, you know, when they're going to hear it in the media, I would think. So I think he has a good way about him to do that. But I also agree, Bulldog, that, you know, it's been a challenging couple of weeks, because when you lose and those things are happening, it makes it a lot more challenging. Now, they do have the Jets here. I think a lot of people, you know, expect them to, you know, have a game where they don't have to even play their best and they're going to get a win, and that can fix a lot of things. But, you know, this is an interesting time, I think, for the last few weeks for the Bills.
Would you care to say a little bit more about this point about McDermott and players? Because I could learn from this, and I'd like to hear what – I'm not sure specifics are possible, but say – let me just – I'll just talk. Rex Ryan, he was, of course, McDermott's predecessor, and, you know, you would hear players coach, which I usually in sports take to mean he's not rigid. Like he's going to let you do you, if you will. And I don't know that I've heard McDermott called a player's coach, but I've certainly heard you say, and I have heard other people say, like, I would say it myself probably, like, that he has shown a pretty good touch with that. I mean, I'm not watching him talk to players, but I feel like that's probably right. But would you say player's coach, or is that a misinterpretation of that term? Because I feel like Rex, he kind of got criticized for it, right? Like he would be pretty loose. And so what's the opposite? What's the opposite of loose? What's the opposite of, you know, rigid? These kinds of definitions. I want to be more accurate with what I know about McDermott in this area.
Okay, well, I think that the words you can use, Mike, are consistent and trust. I think those are the words that come to my mind when I think about the way Sean McDermott is viewed by his players. And I really think that that was kind of borne out in last week against his mentor, Andy Reid. Even asked Andy Reid what's call about. There were a lot of questions about Sean to Andy and about Andy to Sean going into last week. And the one word that really kept coming up was consistency. And, you know, Sean will basically tell you the reason why Andy Reid is so liked by his players, respected by his players, is he is consistent. He will make a tough choice, but they'll respect him for it because they understand why he's doing that, and he'll be upfront and honest with them. And I think Sean has taken those cues. Look, you're right. There is a way to go about. I would not call Sean McDermott a player's coach. I wouldn't do that because I agree. I think a player's coach is, hey, I really love playing for this guy, and he kind of lets me be myself. And I'm not saying Sean McDermott does that, but I think Rex Ryan, he does all of that, but he's probably not as consistent either. You know what I mean? He's not as, I think players probably see, you know, in fact, I think there was a quote I read Rex Ryan had said one time, something like he might have been joking or whatever, but it kind of gives you insight. It's the bus leaves the bus. What is it? Hold on. Wait. The bus sticks around for no one, .. unless you're really good. You know what I mean? Like, that's okay. So he's saying, like, hey, we're not going to wait on you. Well, you know what? If he's really good, we're going to wait on him. Right now. And I think that that's what the way Rex Ryan approached it, which, and I've always said this, the difference to me, there's a big difference between Rex and Sean McDermott in this regard. And I noticed this really kind of right away, which is I think Rex Ryan really values like his star players and what they can bring to the table. And he's going to make sure they're ready to go and all of that. And I don't believe, and I always felt, and I've said this before on the record, I don't think Rex Ryan necessarily and his staff coached the bottom end of the roster nearly the same, because it was about the star players and those guys, you know, making sure that they do what they're supposed to do and we'll be okay. That is not the philosophy of Sean McDermott at all. Sean McDermott and his coaching staff believe in coaching every single player. The back end of the roster is extremely important because those guys are going to have to play for you at some point. And those guys are going to have to, it's not about necessarily even favoritism and that kind of thing. It's about we're building a team and they're part of the team. And I don't care if you're the star guy or the 53rd guy, you might cost us a game if you're not up to speed on what we're supposed to do. And I think that's a big difference in how these guys approach their jobs. And I think players recognize that and they understand that. And they feel because of that, that no matter where they fall on the roster, they're important to Sean McDermott.
Well, you want to go Bulldog here? I mean, I like the conversation. I wish it were an hour longer.
Yeah, no, I'm getting tempted to like sort of, well, so what's the news today? Is there anything?
I know. Well, can I just say then, because you're right to have that instinct, I think, but it's tough. Like Rex is the comparison because Rex was the last coach, but he's on the extreme, right? I mean, you talk about consistency or lack thereof or players coach. Like Rex Ryan is maybe one of the first football coaches you would think of who was that way anywhere, not just the Bills. And maybe McDermott is the same thing on the other end. And I mean, I don't think one is right or one is wrong, right? You have a lot of guys.
Agreed.
You know, and it's 50 plus guys on the roster. And there are times when the coach who's the player's coach needs to use discipline. And there's probably times when the other coach, the McDermott-type coach, has to maybe bend the rules for somebody. You know? Like, I don't know. Sure. That's probably happened, right? He's in his fourth year.
Well, look, Mike, I think a lot of times I'll draw on my experience as a teacher, which is when I was a high school teacher and I had 30 kids in my classroom. You know, it's on me to make sure that I'm understanding each individual personality and how to connect to them. And sometimes you get it wrong. And, you know, you have certain rules, right? Here's the rules for the classroom. You can't touch someone. You know, you can't yell, like raise your hand when you want to talk. But guess what? If Johnny over here has a really big issue and I need to deal with him, I might have to do it in a way different way than I have to with Tommy over here, right? And I think that's, to me, the sign of a great coach is how you can understand that and make sure that you can navigate through that. It's the same thing when people say to me all the time, they need a screamer or they need a guy who's not. Look, Tony Dungy didn't scream at people. He was a great coach and won a Super Bowl, right? Mike Ditka, he did scream at people. He also was a great coach and won a Super Bowl. I mean, there is not one way to do it. To me, it's about managing personalities is what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. All right. So news today, anything encouraging, anything discouraging, anything we need to know from it was a pretty light looking workout, right?
It was. Yeah. The rain came down a little bit. They had, I think, maybe a jog through, I guess, because they didn't have, you know, helmet and shoulder pads and things like that. And it is just a couple of days after their game on Monday. So I think they want them to get their legs back and their body back and things like that. John Brown did not practice today. We don't know exactly where that stands. You know, we'll see this week. Matt Milano, he was limited today. Cam Lewis was limited. I feel so bad for that kid. I mean, first play of the game, I noticed he went up and he tried to jack up Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he kind of came up with his arm was kind of hanging. He went back out there a little bit. He comes out later, and then he has to go to the locker room. Now, today he had it looked like an oven mitt. He was wrapped up so much on his wrist, but he was out there, you know, and I just give him a lot of credit for, you know, trying to fight through whatever it is. Yeah. Terrell Dodson did not practice with the hamstring.
Brown, you texted me, and I know you said this on the broadcast of the game Monday night. Brown looked hindered most of Monday night, right?
Yes, he did. And, you know, there is a point where you say, like, is someone hurting the team? And you never want to say, like, I don't know. That's not for me to decide. That's for John Brown's body and the coaches to decide and things like that. But he could not get away from people. He just couldn't. And I know he wanted to battle. And I don't know. What I don't know was I didn't notice it on the first couple plays. I wasn't watching for it. After the flea flicker, I did notice it, and that was early on. So I don't know if he got hurt on that play, like re-aggravated something, but something wasn't right with him from that time on at least.
Sal, thanks. Very interesting conversation as usual.
Thanks, guys.
That'll do it for us today. The World Series continues next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs, see you tomorrow at 3. We'll have John Clayton at 5 Eastern tomorrow here on WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same.
Gentlemen, be free.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.